That pays to advertise, so obviously Peterbilt has more than one meaning. Two cats.
Not just an 18-wheeler?
And I've worn this shirt once before, so if somebody wants to read it from this close up front.
Mr. Peck is Rooster Farm.
And something else.
We have the biggest cocks in town.
Yes.
Who is your optometrist?
Kaiser.
I was having trouble reading it, okay?
I have three sources that I used, although 99.9% was used from one source. But if you've never seen the Gay Men's Wellness Guide, really a great thing to look for, because check Amazon and see what it's selling for. It's all about gay men, gay health issues, and so forth. And this was a neat find, Sex and Loving, but even though it's heterosexual, it is filled with really nice, tasteful pictures all about mutual masturbating each other and just in tons of things that would apply to men and men, not just men and women. So that was also a source. But the primary source is a book that I found when I was gone in San Francisco and going on a flight somewhere. And in the bookstore was the penis book. How many have ever seen the penis book before? Well, the good news is that Amazon says there's like 40-some copies that could be purchased starting from a penny.
Yeah.
So if you really like what you see in the book, and it's incredible, it's funny, and it's informational, it's a little outdated. I checked to see if there was a new one, and there is not a new one. But at the end, I'll share with you four or five other books that popped up first on Amazon as being related to the topic. And so the author is Joseph Cohen, and this is a picture of the author, who looks like he might have some knowledge about the topic. not somebody that many of us would turn away if he came up to us and was seeming interested or looking at us intently and rubbing his crotch and licking his lips or whatever it might be. So what will happen during the evening, to make sure that everybody participates, I've got several handouts that have something circled. In this case, there's five people who will be reading from this early on. So I'll just pass five sheets out, and then I'll make sure that I stop and talk from that point to know when I do the next handout, I will start here. I'll just keep going around the circle so that everybody gets to read what is circled with an arrow, to make it easy, okay? Because I wanted you to also, instead of me talking about all these things, better for you to hear it from your brothers and friends and neighbors and so forth. So, here we go.
I apologize for interrupting.
Yes, go ahead.
Last time I checked, we're all adults here, so if you need to use facilities or your tumbly gets a little grumbly, help yourself, because it doesn't sound like we're going to be taking a break at
8. No, we'll go straight through, just for the sake of, unless there's a mutiny and you all say, enough.
No more penises.
If you're just finding it, you're getting really hot and sweaty, and because the topic's such a hot topic, and you don't know how you handle the hard on you have for the last 10 minutes, whatever, then you can do that. So, okay, here we go. You have one.
Yeah.
You want one. You love them. You hate them. And that's part of the beginning of the introduction to your penis book. But here's a riddle for you. Listen carefully. Schwarzenegger has a long one. Brad Pitt has a short one. Madonna doesn't have one. And the Pope never uses his.
Name?
What is it?
His name?
Last name, yes. So initially you think, oh my God, it's penis, whatever. And how do they know it's Schwarzenegger? But no, it's last name. So opening circle question. We'll just go around and we'll just raise your hand if you want to share. This is not somewhere, because some of us don't have one, but the opening question, what is the name, nickname you call your penis or someone else has called your penis? So does anybody want to share? Well, I know somebody who shared with me, so we'll start here. So Jack had a partner, and what was the nickname?
My first lover called the Thumper.
So we have Thumper. Okay, anybody else want to share?
Mr. Troublemaker.
Mr. Troublemaker. Okay, anybody else? Don't be shy. Because I've never, nicknamed my cock at all. It's just it's there. But I didn't realize until when I was a senior in high school and ran for student council vice president, I thought, well, my last name is Carr, C-A-R-R. I'll go ahead, and my first name's Rod. Well, hey, and Hot Rod Cars, there was a even famous book, Hot Rod, all about souped up 1950s cars, whatever. That's my, I can't run, vote for Hot Rod Car. And it wasn't until about 2 or 3 years later, when I was getting very sexual, promiscuous, that I thought, realized, Hot Rod had a whole other connotation that I did not have even thought about when I was in high school, but now I know differently. Anybody else? Nicknames, names? Okay. So speaking of names, in the New York phone book are names of people who have some names that are related to the penis. So let's just hear, nice and loud, the names of people in the New York phone book, starting here.
Bull, Bullman, Cock.
Okay. Next three.
Cockburn, Dick, Dong.
So imagine having Dong as your last name. Okay, then we've got
Frank Hardon Hose.
So Hardon, certainly, an H-A-R-D-O-N. Okay, then we have
Peckerman, and Pissman.
And then we have
Cricket, Woody, Salami, and Meter.
Okay, so those are all names, and it might be fun sometime to just look at the San Diego phone book and just see how many of those.
Rob,
yes,
may I add something to
sure.
that? I went to school here in San Diego with a guy whose name was Peter Long.
And was he? You know?
I don't know.
You didn't work at him in gym class?
It was elementary school. So.
I had a colleague named Richard Hertz.
Dick Hurts.
I know a guy named Jackie P. Wang. He was Asian, so it's
Wang.
The best drag name that I ever came across, and this was a lady in Kansas City that performed, and her drag name was Sofonda Peters. Okay. And I thought that was a very clever name, Sofonda Peters. Okay. We're going to start with just something not too sexual, but the penis in art. And rather than try to go around, hopefully you can see from here, and then I can quickly take. So when we go to museums, we see tons of artwork by people way back when that certainly carved all kinds of penises and in the artwork. And it's incredible to go into museums and know there's nothing offensive about it. They don't try to cover the penis, although there have been some museums that were notorious for trying to do something like that. I have to say that when you first see in Florence, Firenze, Michelangelo's David, it is just incredible. How many have ever seen David in person, David? I mean, first off, it's so much bigger than I think you think it's going to be, and then just to see the light on it, and then just, it's just incredible. One of the great artists that we owe a lot to, and here is Keith Haring, drawing all kinds of penises in the New York Gay Center, what a great loss, but what a great talent, because it's certainly a very unique artist that nobody has ever tried to do anything similar to what Keith Haring did. And I'll skip over some of these for the sake of time, because we've got a lot of things to cover. One of the things, though, that is art and is intriguing are tattooed penises. And so here is two. Take off my post-its, then I have less to have to look for. So I will sort of go around quickly. And I'll share with you some interesting short information about having your penis tattooed. Anybody here have a penis? Maybe tattooed with any particular item or whatever?
Back in World War II, it was very common to have a fly tattooed onto the head of your penis. It was very trendy back then.
So what I just showed you are Irezume, Japanese men and women, mostly from the underground, who transformed the bodies into living art. The penis is the last part of the anatomy to get tattooed, and it's the most painful. Some 300 half-body and full-body skins have been preserved in airtight frames and sold to museums and private collectors. Several years ago, a half-body tattoo was auctioned for $50,000. So there is an interest in that. Okay, the penis is very popular in business. And so, show you a couple of quick pictures here from the penis book.
Candy cigarette?
Here's penis earrings, candy, any number of really fun things that businesses said, oh, let's just be really naughty and let's... So,
yeah. Thank you.
Penis pacifier.
Wait. So, any number of things. Anybody want to share the most unusual penis toy or candy that you ever saw?
Penis pacifiers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think one of the most appropriate things, it's not a toy, but over at Baja Betty's, if it's your birthday, not only do they give you an inflatable crown and a sash, they also inflate balloons to make it look like either a penis with balls or a vagina to indicate what you like. So it's a great way of coming out to everybody around you as you're celebrating your birthday saying, yeah, I like dick. Here it is. Look at it. It's huge. On top of my head. They put it on top of your head.
Yeah, I saw on the Nightly Show with Larry Gilmore last night on the Comedy Central, I guess the popular cookie mold now is the Lucky Charm. And it looks like, you know, it's a little pot,
right,
that the rainbow is going into
things,
or it looks like balls and a penis that's linked.
Those would be really popular. It's kind of related.
I'm showing everybody a picture of an Asian woman, and I'll tell you her significance in just a second. But she's a real person. She was the employee of the month for the company.
Little wind-up poppy penises.
That she works for. Her name is Meg Wong. Again, she was employee of the month. And so she's got her lovely smile, the picture in its frame, and so forth. And so here's what Meg Wong had to say. And she works at the Lucky Dragon Penis Factory. And what she makes are these little penis hot things that are little tiny little penises that have a spring in them. So, but here's what May had to say. All day long, make penis hop. Make penis hop. Sometime foot fall off. Spring pop and hit me an eye. More quick, much more happy penis, boss say. 300 I make today, not enough. Make more. May Wong at table next say her penis hopped the biggest. You look like penis, I say. She angry. Later she laugh and laugh. I do job, go home, make egg drop soup for husband. No see his penis for 3 years. So that's May Wong. Okay, now. The business, of course, of condoms for the penis. So we're going to have four readers tell us the quality control for condoms. And this was eye-opening. I guarantee, if you don't walk out here tonight with having learned 10 new things, I will buy you a cup of coffee for sure, because it's just fascinating, all this information about things. So the biggest condom companies are stickers for perfection, adhering to the incredibly stringent quality guidelines of the International Standards Organization. And so if they are one of the big companies, there's four tests that the condom has to pass. Test number one.
Condom test number one. The shocker. Every condom is stretched over a metal form any micro weakness in the latex is discovered, and the condom is rejected.
Okay.
Condom test number two, the big bubble. test the condom tensile strength and elasticity. The samples from each batch are filled with a fixed amount of air until they burst. Samples that pop early often lead to the entire production run being stronger.
So if they ran 1,000 condoms, but 3 or 4 of them popped too early because of inflating the air into them, then the whole 1,000 batch would be destroyed. Because that's a sign that it's not that they're inferior, and they don't want to risk lawsuits and whatever. Test number three.
Samples are filled with 300
What's
milliliters.
What's it called?
Oh, the wet dream.
The wet dream.
Samples are filled with 300 milliliters of water to test for leakage and suspended for 3 minutes. Then the condoms are rolled on blotting paper in search of moisture. If a few drops of moisture appear, the complete batch of condoms will probably be dumped.
And test number four.
Okay,
oh, this is so appropriate for this man.
I was just going to complain. I protest the name. Test number four, the old geezer. I resemble that remark. Sample condoms are artificially aged at high temperatures so their efficiency can be tested at the end of their, quote, 5-year shelf life, unquote. Any condom that fails this test is dumped.
So when you buy your next pair of condoms and it's from a quality company, you know, just think how this condom very likely went through 4 different tests, perhaps, or maybe more, to make sure.
Yeah, right. Just a comment. You know, when you get a free condom from the bowls at the bars and all, I was wondering if I was getting a lousy condom there. It was this cheap, you know, free condom. But like you said, these are all prepared according to industry standards. So they're just as good as any condom you're going to pay a lot of money for in any store. So I don't think you're getting a cheap condom.
Like, and they disappear really fast, too. They have to keep refilling them very quickly. So it's not like they've been sitting there for years.
Right.
Okay, so does size matter? And so we're going to start with animals, but before we do animals, I'll show you that, just like Playboy magazine, this book has a centerfold that you have to open up. And so does size matter? And on these pages are all of the white underwear, jock straps, so forth. But when you open up the penis book, you then get to see that penises come in all shapes and sizes, all kinds of body shapes, circumcised, uncircumcised. I advertised that I was going to be talking about circumcision, but Scott sent me 5 or 6 incredible links, and he and I both had a discussion, and circumcision is really needs to be a whole topic by itself. So I'm not going to really talk about circumcision tonight as I had thought because there's so many other things to cover. But we are going to have a chance to find out tonight which of us are circumcised and which of us are not circumcised. So, does size matter? And so regarding that in animals.
You're
not real,
right?
No, yeah,
okay.
So what do you mean? You're reading the circle part
of the arrow.
Yeah,
I got it.
Okay, so first we're going to start with, over here, we're going to start with elephant penises.
Elephant penises. Erection is 4 feet long and weighs 100 pounds. That's a Chinese man. Penis has a built-in thrusting mechanism, so the male balances his front legs on the lady friend's backside. Sex takes less than a minute. Gestation lasts 22 months.
So 22 months, the female elephant is carrying the baby elephant. But again, 4 feet long and 100-pound penis. Okay. Number two, giraffes, the nice tall animal, 19 feet tall giraffe.
Giraffes. A 19 feet tall giraffe has a 24-inch erection. After shooting his load, the male goes off with his buddies and has nothing to do with his girlfriend for the day or her offspring.
So once he screws her and gets rid of his seed, that's it. He has no more interest in the lady that he screwed and no interest in the offspring at all. So, remind you anybody you gave it? Gorillas.
The gorilla weighs up to 600 pounds, but penis is about 2 inches. Used about once a year, and the female gorilla, they are in heat every 4 years.
So once a year, you get to use your little 2-inch penis, that big 600-pound gorilla, and every 4 years, the female's in heat. Otherwise, it's just...
I guess that kind of averages out.
Whatever. Okay? Now, octopuses. This is very interesting. So, octopus penises.
The penis is on one tentacle. When time to mate, the entire penis arm detaches and tracks down a female. After copulation, the penis dies, but remains attached to the female.
Oh, yeah. So can you imagine two female octopuses? This old thing? And it's the old penis that's still attached to the body from the octopus.
Does it grow another one?
Okay. Pigs. Now, we know we all sometimes think of ourselves as pigs, but what about the pig penis? Okay.
All right. Pig penis is nature's corkscrew, can spiral up to 18 inches. No sow ever has to ask, are you in yet?
So it actually spirals. And so it just goes in and spirals in and...
Duck penises do too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay. And here we go, and I'll show you something that is not on here that I found in my reading. So, whale penises.
Whales. Mega penises of 9 feet mate once a year, keep their penis tucked inside their abdomen between performances.
So can you see us having a guy that said, okay, let's put and have a male penis, and then they tuck it into their abdomen. You know, when I'm using it.
I've seen guys
that
do that.
You've seen guys who do that?
It looks like it's...
The San Diego Natural History Museum, the last I knew, had a whale penis displayed high up on the wall. Most people don't even know what it was, but it's about a 9-foot-long penis.
Okay. And there's actually, in Iceland, there's a museum that's nothing but... animal penises. Mm-hmm. And so if you ever thought of going to Iceland, whatever, sure, right, to find out what the hours are in the museum and see all the animal penises. But I did come across the fact that supposedly Aristotle Onassis, and I believe it was from Rhea Kallas, not Jacqueline Kennedy, actually then had skin from whale penises to cover chairs in one of his rooms on the yacht or whatever, supposedly. Money was no expense. Get me a few whale penis skins to use to cover my chairs with and whatever.
Right.
On Netflix, there is a show, I think it's called The Last Member or The Last One, something like that, and it talks about this museum in Iceland that wants to have a penis of every animal. Human beings are an animal.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, they're looking for donations.
Billing your organ donor card. You got his sew back on.
In Basin State Park in Utah, and of course maybe it's appropriate that it's in Utah because there's also Salt Lake City and a big religious group that's in Salt Lake City. So here's greetings from Penis Rock in the park in Utah. So very much a tall stone member penis. So maybe we should all do a field trip sometime to go to Penis Rock and take a FMSD group picture of Penis Rock.
They have one similar at Cowles Mountain.
I've seen other rocks.
They have one at Cowles Mountain.
I've never seen that.
Is that Joshua Tree?
Is that true?
Oh, Joshua Tree has something?
I'm sure they have one.
It looks very
strong. And because animals have unusual size penises, whatever, so do humans. And just to show you some really unusual penises. Everybody does need to see these, because one comes to an extremely sharp point, and the other has been tied off, whatever, to become... yes, these are African tribe members. I don't know that they're from the same tribe.
It's called a penis
sheep. Now, don't anybody get any ideas?
Oh, it's called a penis sheep, and it's really not their penis.
Yeah,
it's a penis sheep.
Oh, so they're covering the penis with the sheep. Okay, so that. Okay.
Yeah.
But then does it cause the penis to form and not?
Not particularly.
Not particularly.
It represents the penis, right? This is how long that would be if I could.
Got a hell of a revolving door.
Yeah, I've got a whole book on penis sheep.
Oh, goodness. You were.
I don't know if I want to read your coffee table.
One of the great classic works of literature is D.H. Lawrence's Lady Chatterley's Lover, and one of the little captions that I forgot to mark this one, but it basically talks about how tiny the penis becomes when it's flaccid, and we're going to talk a whole lot more about penises being flaccid and becoming larger in just a second. So, in terms of size, I'm going to ask you 6 questions, and just honestly answer, and then you won't have to stand up or just raise your hand. So think carefully. Here's your 2 choices. Would you rather have a big cock or a big heart? How many would like to have a big cock?
I've had a big heart my whole life.
How about a big heart?
I'll settle for a big heart.
Okay. Second question. Would you rather have a big cock or a big bank account? Okay, think which one you want to do. How many would choose the big cock? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? How many would choose the big bank account? Okay, the majority of us. Okay? Would you rather have a big cock or a big circle of friends? A big cock or a big circle of friends?
If you have the
how
first
many?
One,
you'll have maybe the friends you hang out with, you know? So how many of those 2 choices, how many would like to have a big cock?
No winning in that one.
Big circle of friends obviously is the winner, okay. Would you rather have a big cock or a big head of hair? Or a big head of hair? Okay. How many would choose a big cock? How many would choose a big head of hair? I mean, I've gotten used to it, you know, it is what it is. But, okay, would you rather have a big cock or a big house? A big cock or a big house? How many would prefer to have a big cock? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, and big house. The minority in this case, okay? And would you rather have a big cock and die at 50 or a small cock and die at 90? Would you rather have a big cock and die at 50 or a small cock and die at 90?
Those are your only 2 choices.
I only have 1 choice.
If you're over 50.
So how many would choose to die at 50 but have a big cock? 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
So the rest of us would choose.
Most of us are over 50.
Yeah. You're choosing to be dead already.
Yeah.
What's
it
saying?
It's
beggars.
Size is something that is so in the gay community. I know a lot of us, no matter how large we are or whatever, we just feel perhaps, oh, I'm not big enough. Oh, they're going to laugh at my cock. Whatever. And when I was very young and naive, there was one of the most handsome men I have ever met in my life was a banker. And I just thought he was just incredible. And I cruised him, and I was lucky enough that he took me back to his house. And I probably was, I was in high school, probably 17 or so, and we undressed and he turned around and I couldn't see his penis. It was so small that it was hardly there. And it's always struck me that the irony that here's this gorgeous man who everybody sees the exterior at work and on the streets and probably think, oh, he's so handsome and he could model and so forth. But for him to know that he didn't really have a penis at all to speak of, God didn't give him that, what was he going to do? And I don't remember that we had much sex, and I didn't see him again because I just, at that point, I was, I guess, kind of a budding size queen, but that's not the case now. But you know, just but think about the reality. Somebody who doesn't have a big cock, there are things that can be done. I mean, you know, there are strap-ons. There are dildos to use in play. There's ways for that. He could have been an incredible lover, giving great massages and used his mouth and tongue and driving me crazy for hours and hours. But at that point in my naivete, I thought, oh, I'm not interested in him. He doesn't have a penis that I can even see. So just something for slipping. And that's why I had those.
It was a grower, not a shower.
Well, those are the questions that, again, to make us think that size of your penis is maybe not so important compared to other things like bank accounts and houses and big cars and big circle of friends. So if you focus on your positives and don't worry about the fact that, okay, so God didn't give you a big penis, so what? I mean, how much do you really use it in your day-to-day experience? Old wives' tales. So we'll see by a show of hands. How many believe, from your experience, that if a man has a big nose, he has a big hose? A big nose is a big hose. Raise your hand if you think that's true. Two hands, okay? Well, there's no scientific evidence whatsoever that that's true. It's just, you know, it's an old wives' tale. So don't think, my God, that guy has the biggest nose. I got to go with him because he's probably the biggest, thickest cock I've ever seen. Not true at all. There's nothing to justify that.
Unless he's an Arab.
Or an Italian.
Okay. How many believe that if a man has big feet, he's going to have a big cock?
Go.
Big feet, big cock. Raise your hand if you think that's true from your experience. If they have big feet, 10, 11, 12 inch shoes, whatever, that they have a good sized cock.
Let's see the hands.
One, two, three. Okay. Well, the penis size is a product of heredity and genetics, not shoe size. There is no correlation whatsoever. No correlation scientifically whatsoever that the bigger the foot, the more likely the bigger the cock is to increase. Okay. This comment from the book is certainly interesting. The penis is smaller than a chihuahua. And when you think of the size of a chihuahua, probably most of us would love to have a penis the size of a chihuahua. I mean, you know, they're tiny little dogs, but they got girth and they got some length to them and so forth.
But they're yappers.
Well, some are, but I've been around some really sweet, sweet chihuahuas that didn't make any noise at all to speak of.
On that topic, a dachshund with an erection cannot run upstairs.
A dachshund without an erection couldn't run upstairs. Those little tiny legs trying to get upstairs. So the average length of a penis, flaccid. The average length of a penis, flaccid, is 3.7 inches. 3.7 inches, flaccid. And the diameter of a flaccid average penis is 1.25 inches. The average flaccid penis, okay, is not really thick, and it's only been 3.7. The average length erect, once the penis is erect, the average length of an erect penis is 5.1 inches. 5.1 inches, the average penis. So, if you've always been worried that you're only 4 or 5 inches or 6 and you think, oh, that's too small, the average is 5.1 and the diameter is 1.6 inches.
Hmm.
The average erect penis, 1.6 inches.
Where is that? When was that sourced?
Again, the book, I think, was 2004, so it's 10, 12 years. So it definitely...
So...
No, because I saw something about posted for a while there was posting stuff on Facebook about the average penis size of all the cultures, and I think the number was up there like 5, 5.5.
Okay. Now let's see how well you know the aging process. I'm going to give you four choices. You reach the maximum size of your penis at 17, 27, 37, or 47 years old. You got four choices. 17, 27, 37, 47. How many think 17 years if you reach your maximum penis size? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many think 27? 1, 2, 3, 4, for people that are listening, 5. How many think 37? 1, 2. How many think 47? Are we still hoping that you're not that old? You still get... Okay, the average penis reaches its maximum size at 17 years.
Yeah.
What, it shrinks?
17. 17. That's the size you're going to get, unless you start stretching and doing all kinds of other things.
Healthy years.
Now, here's a question where we're going to ask one group of you to stand, okay? The question is, think right now, am I a grower or a shower? Growers, of course, your penis flaccid doesn't look much, but it definitely increases maybe to twice its size. Shower says it's big and whatever, but it doesn't really double in size like a grower does. So stand if you consider yourself a grower. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, okay, growers, okay, and the rest of the group, 7, 8 of us, that are growers, okay?
I used to be a grower.
So with a shower, what you see is what you get. Okay, now we get to the whole aging process and the penis starting from adolescence. So, stand... No, you can sit. Raise your hand if you ever saw your dad's penis as a young boy. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Anybody want to share thoughts that you remember having when you saw your dad's penis and you looked at yours?
Huge.
You know, I didn't compare. Yeah, my father used to walk around the house naked.
Our whole family walked around the house naked.
Yeah, he would walk around the house naked. Yeah, it was fascinating. I mean, I didn't compare it to mine, but it was,
Okay.
And I kind of felt some shame around it too. I was trying to think of where did my mother say, "Stop looking at me." I do remember. I felt like it was not right to look at him.
Did you ask him, Dad, when is mine going to get as big as yours?
I can't remember, Robert. I can't. But I do remember he used to walk around the house naked when he get off work all the time. Yeah.
Okay, so anybody else? Story about seeing your dad's penis?
I only saw my dad's penis when I cared for him when he was sick, and I was kind of disappointed. I was I guess it's not all for it.
Well, you know, that'd be something to find out because we shrivel as we get older, so... Does the penis shrivel as it gets older?
It was only early 60s.
Oh, yeah, that's not okay. Okay, so here's a little story for you. As we talk about hard-ons, which is how teenage boys, pre-teen boys, start to realize that something's going on with their penis and so forth. A guy in the hotel lobby is waiting to check in, and his cell phone starts ringing. And as he fumbles to retrieve it from his pocket, his elbow accidentally bumps into the breast of the woman standing in front of him. They're both quite startled. The man turns to her and says, "I miss, if your heart is as soft as your breast, I know you'll forgive me." The woman says, "If your penis is as hard as your elbow, I'm in room 827. I've never heard that. So, three things to consider here. Okay, you get one choice out of three. Do you prefer a leather cock ring, a metal cock ring to get hard and keep your penis in good shape, or no cock ring? So, no cock ring, leather cock ring, metal cock ring. How many prefer a leather cock ring? 1, 2, 3, 4. How many prefer a metal cock ring? 1, 2,
Three. How many don't really use a cock ring? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay? So see how, again, learning lots about each other here.
Well,
question.
Yes. There's another choice, those rubber ones. That
silicone.
Oh, yes.
Watch balls.
Yeah. Right. Those are acrylic.
Those were the
rounded. Those are tourniquets.
I find the clear acrylic ones, whatever, they keep breaking on me. They're not, I think they're going to be really strong and not break and get old or whatever, but I've had bad luck with two.
I don't like those neoprene. Those neoprenes are like tourniquets.
They pull hair.
In terms of keeping hard-ons and so forth and erections, the late great comedian Rodney Dangerfield had this to say about erections. At my age, I'm envious of a stiff wind.
I thought you said my sex life is like shooting pool with a rope.
Well, that's
one of his jokes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the young preteen teenage boy gets a hard on, and then something happens to many teen boys, but not all teen boys. So think back to your preteen teen years, and think back and try to remember: did you have wet dreams when you were?
Nope.
A child.
Never once.
So, okay. So, how many remember at least once having a wet dream?
Right at what age?
At any age. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 remember having a wet dream. How many don't think they ever had a wet dream? One, two, three, four, five.
You guys are amazing.
Because I thought that it was supposed to happen to everybody, and I kept thinking, well, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen?
I was jacking off from an early age, so I didn't need to relieve the pressure.
High five on that.
One was a 22.
What was
22? I had one that was 22.
Oh, okay.
So that one was
okay.
10.
Okay, so here's information about wet dreams. At around 13, a boy's sperm production kicks into high gear. Nocturnal emissions, wet dreams, begin to occur. It's not uncommon for boys to have up to 10 wet dreams a week. Anybody remember having at least 10 a week?
No.
Sleep on my straight a week.
Now, in the late 19th century in the United States and Europe, medical authorities declared that frequent release of semen would cause brains to grow dull and genitals to fall off. So,
insanity.
And they also thought that the expenditure of the most vital fluids of the system, because they realized that sperm was the most vital fluid of the system, that expending that too much would surely cause an early death. So, the late 19th century, so the late 1800s.
They still believe the
solution to the problem was to create some devices. So, one invention was the anti-wet dream device was the timely warning patented in 1905 by Dr. Foote's Sanitary Bureau of New York. And I'll show you a picture. An erection, if it would be put onto your body, your penis, and if you had an erection, the metal teeth of the device, the aluminum teeth, would then turn your dream into a nightmare. So on the left hand is the actual device that was purchased, created, and used to try to keep.
So it's like a choke chain.
From having any wet dreams because you'd be too afraid of Mr. S. Pain when you start having
a
shaft got a gorge with blood became thicker and bigger. And one other device would cause an expanding penis to set off an alarm. Imagine having to deal with that. Yes,
I just had a question. For those of us that have had wet dreams, Do you notice a difference in the intensity of the orgasm of a wet dream versus when you're awake and having an orgasm? I've always been curious about this.
I don't remember having a wet dream when I was conscious.
When you were conscious?
Yeah, because I wake up.
That's what I mean. It's like, yeah, you have a wet dream, you wake up, this is your company. Yeah. Right.
Well, no, I just wake up and this...
I understand that the orgasm is the most is
I've
much more intense in a wet dream.
Yes, it is much more intense. You don't even feel a wet dream.
Yeah, I wake up.
You wake up wet.
No. I find the wet dream orgasm to be extremely intense.
I've remembered one or whatever. It wasn't particularly.
Number four. Just me.
It wasn't even sexually related.
You'll read number six.
Yeah.
You'll read number eight. You'll read number nine. You'll read number 10. You'll read number 11. And number 12. Now, the big book years ago was everything you wanted to know about sex, we're afraid to ask. Here's your chance now to listen and hear 12 facts about semen that you probably don't have a clue about. So fact number one about semen.
That's a really bad source.
Yeah, really.
Average volume of ejaculate. It's half to a teaspoon.
So here's a teaspoon.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could get those days.
Oh my God!
Incidentally, the musical group 10cc, they're named after that. And also the Loving Spoonful. So. Also Pearl Jam. All these are musical groups named after singing.
Scandal.
That's very good information. Mm-hmm. Okay, fact number two about semen.
Use that on Jeopardy.
Okay, listen carefully.
The chief ingredient is fructose.
So for those of you who swallow or even taste your own cum, the chief ingredient of semen is fructose. Okay.
Sweet.
Okay, fact number three.
Calorie content, 5 calories per teaspoon.
What? So 1 teaspoon of...
So if you're on a diet, it's good.
Absolutely. So don't worry about gaining weight by having lots of calories. 5 calories per teaspoon.
5, 10.
Okay. Fact number 4 about semen.
Protein content is 6 milligrams per teaspoon.
So there is some protein in semen. Okay, fact number 5.
The average number of ejaculatory spurts is 3 to 10.
10!
So,
that's the average. You can have more.
Fact number 6.
The average speed of ejaculation is 25 miles per hour.
Oh, my.
The scientists have ways of doing this. That fact really surprised 25 miles per hour. But it comes up really quick.
That's why it hits the headboard.
So 25 miles per hour. Okay, fact number 7.
Average interval of ejaculatory contractions, 0.8 seconds.
So not quite even a second that of the spasms, the intervals, the contractions. Okay. Fact number 8.
Average duration of orgasm, 4 seconds. But what are they timing? That's my question. Because the actual squirt?
Yes, probably. I mean, because 4
seconds is like... Because there's a lot more tingling, feeling, and body convulsion and things happening after 4 seconds.
Well, the average baseball game of actual playing is actually about 7.5 minutes.
That's right.
Of actual doing something. Everything else in a baseball game, every stopwatch, you timed it.
Yeah.
Okay? 7.5 minutes of actual activity. Mm-hmm. Compared to football, basketball, baseball is a very slow game. Fact number 9.
Farthest medically recorded ejaculation, 23.5 inches.
That's
a big one.
Okay, 23.5
inches.
Use the
data.
Rubbish.
That's it.
That's a small sample size.
Now, again, is this people that come in and they actually measure, or is it they ask people to estimate? I don't know.
Measuring
something. I think that's
okay, fact number 10.
Average number of sperm cells in the ejaculate of a healthy man is 200 to 600 million.
So a healthy man has 200 to 600 million sperm cells. And fact number 11.
Why does he never get pregnant?
average number of sperm in the ejaculate of an infertile man is 50 million.
So only 50 million compared to 200 to 600 million in a healthy man. So in terms of fertility and so forth. And final fact about semen.
Average swimming speed is 1 to 4 milliliters or millimeters per minute.
So the actual
4 millimeters is about like that.
Okay.
What is this page 12 PB?
PB is Pete's book. That's to tell me what page was on. So in case somebody says, I don't believe that, show me that. You made that up. I can see and say, really?
Do you lose do you lose cum as you age?
For sure. Yeah.
Is it
right?
In volume? Is it in your liver?
Yeah.
I would
think so.
I think you would lose fertility.
Yeah, interesting question.
All your cells die.
Google it. And then let us know what you're talking about.
Right now.
Okay, moving on now from wet dreams and facts that seem to masturbation, where we actually learn how to manipulate our penis and to get a load. So a question for everybody to think about for just a second. Before the age of 18, did you ever jack off a friend, or did you never jack off a friend before the age of 18, before you graduated from high school? So think back to who you played with and when you first sort of played with boys or whatever, but did you ever jack off a friend before the age of 18?
Each week?
If you did, raise your hand.
If they were about 18.
No, you.
I was 16, dude.
Yeah, so you, okay. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay.
I started when I was 8.
8?
I knew all the neighborhood boys looked like naked by then. Oh, yeah. I was a slut.
What?
Slut. Seriously. I used to organize parties. This surprises everyone.
Okay, 8:15. And we go, okay. Okay, so, you answered me. So, one of the famous books that was also made into a movie, if you've never read it, you ought to read it sometime, Portnoy's Complaint, was a scandalous book because Philip Roth really talked about, in big sections, teenage boy and so forth. So, this is one of the famous sections from Portnoy's Complaint. Big boy. Big boy, oh, give me all you've got, begged the empty milk bottle that I kept hidden in our storage bin in the basement to drive wild after school with my Vaseline upright. Come, big boy, come, screamed the maddened piece of litter that in my own insanity I bought one afternoon at a butcher shop and, believe it or not, violated behind a billboard on the way to a bar mitzvah lesson.
Come on, can you use
so, the classic the pie?
American pie.
American pie.
Was that the first of three?
Yes.
Well, okay, he screws the pie. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So in this case, liver was nice and wet and moist and so forth.
Yeah.
I guess more likely the clitoris, vagina, and so forth. Okay. Now this is amazing, and so we'll take this in sections. We left off with. Okay. There are 73 expressions for masturbation. So you're going to hear, real quick, we're going to hear three from each of the people in this first set, and then the rest of you will hear the next. So here we go. Three expressions for masturbation. They are.
You've never heard this one. Beat off. Beating the bishop. Bopping the baloney.
Okay, next three.
Burping the worm. Calling down for more mail. Choke your chicken.
Yes.
Clean the pipes. Cracking the fat. Dropping a line.
Next three.
Dropping stomach pancakes. Fist fuck and fisting the mister.
Stomach pancakes. Never heard that. Okay, next three.
Five knuckle Olympics. Hogging your log. And flute solo.
Well, skin fluid is another name for penis. Okay, next three.
Giving it a tug, driving the John Hancock, hacking the hog.
Anybody have any way driving the John Hancock?
What about spanking the monkey?
Well, we have
flogging your dolphin.
Okay, we left off with
here.
Okay. Now we've got the full page, three at a time. We need a second here.
Go. What are the next three? Read them, quick.
Okay, here we go.
Let's go.
Okay, holding your sausage hostage, hone your bone, and jack off.
Jacking the beanstalk, jerk off, jerking the fear tip.
Shuffle on your piss pump. Making the bald butt guy cute and manual override.
Milking the lizard, molding hot plastic, oiling the pogo stick.
One-handed clapping, bottle the pico, and peel the banana.
Playing with your noodles. play organ. Play the piss pipe.
Polish the chrome dome. Prepping the porpoise. Pound your piss pump.
Next, by pounding your pud, pumping the python, or punching the munchkin.
Roughing up the suspect, rounding up the tadpoles, rub one out.
Self-love, and shaking hands with the governor.
Shining the helmet, shooting putty at the moon, slap the salami.
And then the last one.
Last group is left off. Okay, start reading if you would.
Are we still on names for this group?
You're reading the circle one. You're reading that circle.
Slapping happy. Sloppy Joe's last stand. Sloppy sign language.
Okay. Spank the prank. Squeeze the cream from the fresh Twinkie.
Flesh
Twinkie.
From the flesh.
Squeeze the twink from the flesh. Squeeze the cream from the flesh Twinkie. And squeezing the toothpaste.
Tease the weasel, the sticky page Rumba, and tickle the Elmo.
Tussle your muscle, unwrapping the pepperoni, wax your Jackson.
Whack off, whipping the window washer, whitewater wristing. Winding the jack in the box, wonking your corker, working a cramp out of your muscle.
Working your willy, wrestling the eel, yank my doodle, and yank your crank. I got four.
Yeah, because there was one left over. Two classic quotations about masturbation. Truman Capote said, "The good thing about masturbation is that you don't have to dress up for it." And in the play The Boys in the Band, the character Harold says, "The best thing to be said about masturbation is that you don't have to worry about looking your best."
Mm-hmm. You know what Woody Allen said, right?
No.
Woody Allen said, "Why would I be against masturbation? It's sex with somebody that I love."
Good old
Woody Allen. Sex is like bridge. If you don't have a good partner, you better have a good hand.
Okay. Next, so use it or cage it in terms of trying to stop yourself from jacking off so much that you're going to lose hair, you're going to go blind, all the things that we would do. Erections fill the penis with oxygen-rich blood, and oxygen is essential for the survival of the smooth muscle tissue with the arteries of your ding-dong. A shortage of oxygen leads to a buildup of collagen, making erections more difficult. So use your penis. So those that are into chastity shouldn't be kept that long in chastity that they couldn't shoot loads, be milked, whatever, because it's not really that healthy to deny yourself and then doing it. It's the collagen buildup that then really start to affect children. So how to have multiple orgasms, real quick. Three or four techniques to talk about. Bring yourself to the edge of popping, immediately stop and let your arousal fade and start over. Watch your rush. Mm-hmm. So they're saying multiple orgasms in the sense of that you really are getting excited, close, and then stop and edge yourself and then start over. And so you can have, in a sense, 4, 5, 6 orgasms in a sense before you really shoot the big one when you finally don't want to hold any longer. When you're about to come, squeeze the tip of your penis tightly with 2 or 3 fingers until the urge fades, and then start stroking, and then squeeze, and again, squeeze. Do your Kegel exercises. Whenever you pee, strengthen your pubococcygeus, the PC muscle, by stopping your piss in midstream about 5 times. Mm-hmm. By contracting your PC muscles just before climax, you can experience multiple orgasms followed by a Richter scale earthquake ejaculation.
Yep.
So women practice it a lot, and so men should do it the same way. So you just do your contractions, and you'll be try it and see if in the next 3 or 4 weeks you don't find the more intense orgasms. Or finally, tug your testicles, pulling your balls down and holding them between your legs will delay the ejaculation. So 4 ways to try to increase.
That is true.
Using the penis to fuck. So listen to this translation from a classic book called Perfume Garden. Then Babalu inserted his member into the vagina of the Sultan's daughter, and she, settling down upon his engine, allowed it to penetrate entirely into her furnace. Though nothing more could be seen of it, not the slightest trace, she then gave herself up to an up-and-down dance, moving her bottom like a riddle, to the right and the left, and forward and backward. Never was there such a dance as this. So, question now for all of us. You have or have not fucked a woman? You haven't? So, raise your hand if you have fucked a woman. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Raise your hand if you've never fucked a woman. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? Do women prefer big dicks? Most of a woman's sexual pleasure comes from her clitoris and the outer 2 inches of her vagina. It contains most of the nerve endings, so the reality is that a thicker penis ultimately has more going for it than a longer one. Now, the question to you, my brothers, as men, if you have been fucked, like getting fucked, or have been fucked, is it more pleasurable to be fucked by a long cock or a thick cock? So, I think for those of you that have been fucked and enjoy being fucked, would you prefer a longer cock or a thicker cock? Because for women, it's the thicker cock. So how many men in this room would...
I mean, don't you need a reference? Thick meaning what?
Well, to you, if it was thick enough and you felt that was really pleasurable.
As opposed to something.
As opposed to the average of 1.5 inch diameter or whatever. So how many would prefer a long dick to be fucked by? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... I'm going to prefer a thicker dick to be fucked by. 1, 2, 3,
double
four.
These can't be choosy.
Penis problems. Penis problems. The 3 causes of penis shrinkage. Fear. Stress. 1/3 of men who go into the doctor's office to have a physical try to explain their shrinkage and apologize. 1/3 of the men, because they're embarrassed, because they're shrunk, because they're stressed, they're nervous about the doctor and what they're going to do and whatever, so that tends to shrink and shrivel up your penis. And of course, the infamous one, cold water.
There's
a sign for that. So wait, you read through that. So,
stress.
You just ran through it.
So fear, stress, and cold water. Right. Well, all have an impact on a lot of men and shrink the penis to some extent.
You mean losing your erection or physically
size.
Your...
Just make it smaller, flaccid.
More flaccid. So it's not hanging as loose as it was because you're sort of uptight and it sort of shrinks up a little bit.
Not to be confused with stress or fear.
Yes.
In the flaccid state, the 3 things that cause shrinkage are
yes.
Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with erectile dysfunction.
No.
Okay, because that's.
Do they talk about erectile?
So say it, cover that. I'm not confused.
You do. Do they cover your?
Rape causes a penis shrinkage was really all that it said in the sex and shrinkage. Just what could cause a penis to shrink some.
Temporarily.
Yeah, it's not permanent. Yeah. It's cold water, we all know. Once you get warm again, then of course the penis is back up in size.
The thing that makes your dick shrink long term is gaining weight. Mm-hmm.
I'm coming to that, yes.
No, okay.
Yeah. So, a key thing about erectile dysfunction. Smoking is one of the leading causes of impotence and a prime player in reducing a man's fertility. Medical studies confirm smokers are twice as likely as non-smokers to become impotent. Smoking damages the blood vessels in the penis, inhibiting the healthy flow of blood that leads to an erection. Since these vessels are considerably narrower than those leading to the heart, the penis is even more susceptible to the serious effects of smoking. A limp penis is also recognized as an early warning sign that heart disease is not too many ashtrays away. So you decide if you're a smoker, a pack or two a day, or a lucky roll in the hay. In terms of erection dysfunctions and trying to use Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, and so forth, Dan Quayle, former vice president, to the subject on the subject of using Viagra. I've been using this stuff for 1 week and nothing. It's the worst suppository I've ever tried. Okay, penis enlargement is a way, if you're not happy, you want to actually have surgery to enlarge the penis. Here's what quickly happens. The doctor makes a small incision above the base of the penis. He cuts the main suspensory ligament that anchors the penis to your pubic bone. And then this procedure was invented in China by a surgeon named Long, L-O-N-G. To make the penis thicker, the surgeon injects purified fat removed from the abdomen or the lower thigh under the skin around the penis shaft. Another technique to thicken the penis is called dermal graft augmentation. In this method, strips of skin with fat on the undersurface are removed from the buttocks and placed under the penis skin. Problems with these surgeries. Scar tissue forms where the ligament was cut, frequently causing the penis to retract, creating a shorter penis than when you started. Erections can point straight out, not up. Fat injections can be absorbed by the body, causing what remains to become bumpy and irregular in shape. Uh-huh. Grafting may leave you with scarring, loss of sensitivity, erection discomfort, and possible impotence. So, solutions to penis problems. The quick fixes. Number one, trim your pubic hair. Look at all the porn models and the pictures on the internet and look and see how the pubic hair has been trimmed and put back up, and that adds an extra quarter inch, half inch, whatever, in appearance to make the penis look longer. So trim your pubic hair quick and easy.
And only be video captured from below. That always makes it look bigger.
Number two, as Tony says, lose weight. And real quick, if we had it set up where I could have shown it, Dr. Oz did a thing, and he asked the doctor, can you look at a man and tell if they're going to have erectile dysfunction? And he said, absolutely.
Okay.
How can you tell?
Belly fat.
The bigger the belly, the more likely they're not going to be able to get it up. And what they did was, there's fat and there's a testosterone, and the belly fat, the bigger you are, it sucks up the testosterone. And so when they showed the two examples, then what was left as they poured into the beaker was about 3 drops of testosterone left. And trying to get a hard-on and get it up to play with 3 drops of testosterone, when if you would lose the belly fat and you would have a whole lot of testosterone, you would solve your problem.
It kind of makes sense. So I'm saying that the belly fat is robbing the testosterone.
To also add to that, though, that the more fat you lose, the less fat around your cock starts showing up more.
Yes, and so that was another reason why to lose the weight, because then, you just, it looks bigger.
because of the fact
that it is actually bigger.
This is a wonderful quote that I came across this week on Recon on a profile. Was at the back of the line when God passed out Cox, but hey, it works like a porn star. And I was at the gym last week, and a man was very, at the locker, totally naked, standing. He had a very, very small penis. He was very comfortable in his skin. He didn't bother him, and I thought, how great. Because you see a lot of guys at the locker room that always have the towel around and they're turning backwards and so forth because they don't want you to see their cock or whatever. Either it's too big and humongous and they don't want to show that, or it's they're embarrassed by the size of it. But this man was comfortable in his skin. And
add to that, we were at Black's today, and I go there often, and it is the gay side of Black's Beach is being covered up in rapid succession, because I used to go down there like even 2 years, 5 years ago, and most of the gay men were naked. Now a lot of the men have their clothes, have trunks on, or they're not going au natural, and then it's the opposite down on the, it's in sections, it's like the straight section, the bisexual section, and the gay section. So it is changing. Because you said it earlier about gay men have this issue with their dicks and all that. I think it's universal with all men in our culture here in America that to have a big dick means you're powerful, you have a lot of sex, you're more manly, and that is not true. That's not true.
I think that the whole world is becoming more clothes conscious and covered up conscious. More so than when I was young compared to now. It just seems like it's more, a lot of people, like he says in the gym, they're always covered up, or just like, I don't know. I don't think that they're worried about their dick, but I think they're just being prudish if they want to be seen naked, period.
The topic being friend or foe, I just saw an article 2 days ago where it said the 25 most gross nude scenes in the movies. And out of those 25 examples, around 23 of them were because somebody dared to show external male genitalia in the movie, and they were grossed out by it. And see, that's the problem, is that we have all this stress about size and all that, but then if you dare show it, then people make fun of you.
Exactly right.
And it's a real fucked up attitude, because women, they can show off their titties and lift them and separate, but if you dare show a package, visible penis line, then people will, attack you. Say, oh, how shameless.
Mm-hmm. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to cut out quite a few things that I have prepared, which is okay. I'd rather have too much and too little. But food to eat, one of the top foods, Casanova, the legendary lover, oysters are a legendary aphrodisiac. Casanova ate 50 of them every morning in the bath, sitting with his current lady. Oysters are abundantly rich in zinc, a key ingredient in the production of sperm and testosterone.
Right.
But if you don't like oysters like me, well, they sell zinc, at the health food stores and Target and whatever, and take a zinc supplement if it's not any vitamin that you take. We're going to skip the Prince Albert history, urinal etiquette. Okay, key question, just to have an idea. So stand if you are uncircumcised. Stand if you are uncircumcised.
Wow.
We're all circumcised.
Wow.
Everybody's cut.
Wow.
Okay.
Stop cutting these children.
That's a whole part of that topic to be talking about. We're going to skip.
We might want to have another night.
I have a lot more, so I'll go on and I'll add the influence. Okay, moving on real quick. The last things to conclude with. Women ask, what would you do if you had a penis? Here were the answers. Jeanette in Chicago, after a long meeting with a bunch of guys, I'd follow them into the men's room, stand at the urinal, whip it out, and pee like the rest of them. Would they be shocked? Perhaps I'd only be confirming what some of them secretly suspected. Toby from New York, very, very tenderly, I'd fuck my boyfriend up the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn in Boston, I'd get most excited about my balls, big hairy balls, or I'd be disappointed. I'd shake them back and forth, squeeze them into my laciest panties, and I'd let them hang out the sides. I'd have my cat lick them. And best of all, I'd watch my Romanian lady freak out as I spread my legs for my semi-annual bikini wax. Harry in Los Angeles, the first thing I'd do is make love to another woman. Jesus, it would almost be like fucking myself, knowing what really turns me on, sensing when it's time to go slow, faster, slower, teasing with my cock. Wow. And Rebecca in Salt Lake City said, I pee in the woods a lot. I've always wanted to do that. Men were asked, what would you do if you did not have a penis? And Claude in Houston said, I'd be lost. It's like losing my best friend. Bucky in Minneapolis, my wife would breathe a sigh of relief because I wouldn't wake her up every morning with my heart on poking her in the back. Dane in Charleston, I know it sounds strange, but I'd probably become a better lover. Sex wouldn't revolve around my dick like it does now. I'd spend more time kissing my girlfriend and massaging her, listening to her. I think she might feel a lot more satisfied, but I'm not sure about that. Tom in Miami, I don't think I'd be as successful as I am today. Look, here's the way I see it. Peppers and balls and testosterone and money are all linked together. No dick, no corner office. Does that make any sense? And finally, Billy says in Kenosha, what would I scratch?
Yeah, and for the record, the last thing you want is for a cat to lick your balls. Their tongues are like sandpaper, and trust me, it's the nastiest way to wake up you've ever felt.
And so the final conclusion, that so many believe the penis was created for just one purpose, to bring life into the world. Some might disagree, but who could argue with the results? And so the book ends.
Also, very important trivia point, butt babies always die. Yes. It sounds like a very heterosexual book.
Yes. Well, he certainly doesn't look that heterosexual. And then, so you can get it online, and you can get online the Big Penis Book.
Oh, yeah.
I've which seen has this big giant white heart on.
It's a much bigger book than that.
Anybody ever read The Princess and the Penis? That book would be interesting to get. And The Book of the Penis, and Jack had mentioned, what was the book you
called?
Said?
The Male Member.
The Male Member. And Penis, a collection of essays, The Little Book of Big Penis. And this looks like something fun for a lot of us to do, The Penis Pokey. And so there's a hole in the front cover of the book. So, so you can play penis pokey and I guess stick your penis out through the hole.
It's a hilarious book.
It's what?
It's a hilarious book. I have that book.
You should bring it in and share it.
Is that so a thank you, book? Gentlemen. All I hope you
thank
walk
you
out.
Thank you, Rod. How did
you do it? How did you even do it?
So, you can mingle and chit-chat with each other. What we didn't do, but if you want to do, and you find two or three people, think back to when you were little and just, you show me yours, I'll show you mine.